Hello, my name is Dave Emery, and this is side one of For the Record program number 588, titled, The Aliens Are Coming! The Aliens Are Coming! Not. This has been recorded on March 4th of the year 2007. Before we launch into the broadcast, if it sounds like I've got a cold, I do, so that's why it sounds like I've got a cold. So hang in there. I'm psyched up for this one, because this is a really important show. It's also dealing with a hugely important and generally alienated subject, and there's a pun there, namely so-called UFOs and, quote, space aliens, unquote. This is a subject that I've covered in a number of broadcasts. They're all archived by sister station WFMU, and the descriptions are available from Spitfire at www.spitfirelist.com. And there's also a very important lecture, if I do say so myself, from 1992. It's available on the Spitfire website for download for free on MP3. It's called The Political Implications of the UFO Phenomenon and the ET Myth. Note the choice of words in the title. Because the evidence is very strong that so-called UFOs are real, but that they come from Earth. They are made by Homo sapiens. And we're going to be dealing with what I believe is the ultimate psyop here, namely an attempt on the part of some very significant people with military and intelligence backgrounds in a variety of countries to make us believe that UFOs are real, but that they come from outer space. Now, this has long been the province of sci-fi movies and of hustlers of various kinds. That sort of stuff is really, really big in the so-called New Age, which I pronounced Newage. Rhymes with sewage. And unfortunately, because of that, the topic of, quote, UFOs, unquote, has generally been relegated to the margins and to the province of popular culture. Extremely long story made very short. There is significant evidence that so-called UFOs are real. The stealth aircraft appear to be part of the same general line of aeronautical development, but that there's no credible evidence whatsoever that we've ever been visited by, quote, space aliens, unquote. And so the myth that's being propagated of space aliens from Uranus is just that. It's a myth, and people should be very careful. However, I think that as the world heads to an unprecedented crisis, and we are heading toward an unprecedented crisis, a crisis that is being precipitated by environmental devastation. Global warming, by the way, is going to be really fun. It's going to be really, really, really great by the time that kicks into high gear. And people are going to wish that our brothers from space are going to come down and help. And there are indications that, quote, our brothers from space, unquote, will be recruited to help when all else fails, when people are on their knees, when there are genetically engineered microorganisms wreaking havoc with plagues, either deliberately disseminated or accidentally disseminated, when global warming has rendered coastal cities underwater, when the only things that are going to be playing at the 49ers won't be playing at Candlestick Park. It'll be the Dolphins and the Seahawks playing at, I guess it's called Monster Park now. That's appropriate under the circumstances. And when the economy collapses, and it's going to, and when every third world country has weapons of mass destruction and they're using them, it is going to be nasty. And people are going to be absolutely shattered. The human spirit will be broken, and it will be subjugated for the duration by belief in our brothers from space, unquote. There are numerous For the Record shows about that, and a very important lecture available for download for free. And we're going to deal with that subject. There have been several news reports recently in which former British and Canadian defense officials, very high-ranking ones at that, have been saying, yep, we have been visited by aliens, they have superior technology, and we can use that technology. Either we can use the technology to cure global warming, or look out, the aliens are coming. There could be an intergalactic war at any minute. And again, there are very firm indications that UFOs are real, but they don't come from outer space. Just pause for a minute. You've seen a Frisbee, right? Well, that's a disc-shaped airfoil. It's made by the Wham-O Corporation, and it flies, doesn't it? Well, if the Wham-O Corporation can make a flying disc-shaped airfoil, it seems altogether ridiculous that the more powerful and capable institutions of our society, governments and their associated aerospace industries, could not make a flying disc-shaped airfoil. So we're going to explore not only an attempt at creating the belief in our brothers from space, unquote, but also we're going to take a look at some of the history of the actual development of UFOs, quote, flying saucers, unquote, and we're going to conclude with a look at the devastating psychological and sociological implications of this. We're going to begin with an article from the Daily Mail. That's a British paper from, appropriately enough, September 11th of 2006. An article by Charlotte Gill titled, Aliens Could Attack at Any Time, unquote, warns former MOD chief. MOD is the Ministry of Defense. What this is a guy named Nick Pope, the former head of the Ministry of Defense. That's the equivalent of our Secretary of Defense. This guy held the same post in Britain that Donald Rumsfeld held here. So pay attention to this. And what does he have to say? Well, the Daily Mail of 9/11/06 says, UFO sightings and alien visitors tend to be solely the reserve of sci-fi movies. So when a former MOD chief warns that the country could be attacked by extraterrestrials at any time, you may be forgiven for feeling a little alarmed. During his time as head of the Ministry of Defense UFO project, Nick Pope was persuaded into believing that other life forms may visit Earth and more specifically Britain. His concern is that, quote, highly credible, unquote, sightings are simply dismissed, and he complains that the project he once ran is now virtually closed, unquote, down, leaving the country wide open, unquote, to aliens. Parenthetically, I think what he's really worried about are the old British racist and chauvinist view that, quote, the wogs begin at Calais, unquote. I think that's probably what he's really talking about. Actually, perhaps that's a joke. No, he's hyping the aliens myth. And here's what he says. Mr. Pope, again, Nick Pope, the former head of the Ministry of Defense, equivalent of our Secretary of Defense, Mr. Pope decided to speak out about his worries after resigning from his post at the Directorate of Defense Security at the Ministry of Defense this week. Quote, the consequences of getting this one wrong could be huge, he said. If you reported a UFO sighting now, I am absolutely sure that you would just get back a standard letter telling you not to worry. Frankly, we are wide open. If something does not behave like a conventional aircraft now, it will be ignored. The X-Files have been closed down, unquote. If these words had come from a sci-fi fanatic, they could be easily dismissed by cynics. But Mr. Pope's CV, he was head of the UFO project between 1991 and 1994, cannot be ignored. When he began his job, he too was skeptical about UFOs, but access to classified files on the subject and investigation of a series of spectacular UFO sightings gradually changed his mind. And while Mr. Pope says that there is no evidence of hostile intent, he insists it cannot be ruled out. There has got to be the potential for that, and one is left with the uneasy feeling that if it turned out to be so, there is very little we could do about it, unquote, he said. If you believe these things are extraterrestrial craft, then you cannot rule out that what is happening is some kind of covert reconnaissance, unquote. One incident which persuaded him of the existence of alien life forms was in 1993. There were reports of a, quote, vast, triangular-shaped craft, unquote, spotted flying over RAF bases in the West Midlands. Most of the witnesses were police and military personnel, he said. Hundreds of members of the public also had sightings over a period of several hours, unquote. In another incident in 1980 at Royal Air Force bases in Suffolk, staff investigated a suspected plane crash after bright lights were reported coming from nearby woods. They found a kind of lunar landing module standing on three legs, which then flew off. The indents it left in the ground were found to emit 10 times the normal levels of radiation. Mr. Pope said, quote, these sort of incidents are why I got so frustrated. In my time, I would brief the more interesting sightings up the chain of command to people like the chief of the air staff and would get the answer back that it was very interesting and I had clearly done a good job of investigating it, and that was it. Everyone is a piece of a puzzle, but no one takes it seriously. There needs to be more resources and people who are prepared to look past the philosophical issues, look at the reports, and investigate them properly. Quote, whether you believe these things are foreign air forces testing prototype aircraft, or whether you believe they are something more exotic with the speeds and movements they are capable of, it's technology we would very much like to get hold of, unquote. And I think there are very firm indications that they're real. But again, they do not come from outer space. So if you ever see these things, folks, bear in mind they're real. But the people who are running them are, you'll be told they're your brothers from space. Well, they ain't from space, and they sure as hell aren't your brothers. So remember that. Another article, this from Yahoo, and this specifically was from November 24th of 2005. In addition to the former head of the British Ministry of Defense, a former defense minister of Canada has stated also that, yes, not only are UFOs here, but that they're real and that we have some of the alien technology. And later on in the program, we're going to take a look at some information which may shed some light on why we're seeing these statements coming out of Canada and the United Kingdom. This, again, was from the Yahoo website. It's November 24th, 2005, dated Ottawa, Canada, reading in part, a former Canadian Minister of Defense and Deputy Prime Minister under Pierre Trudeau has joined forces with three non-governmental organizations to ask the Parliament of Canada to hold public hearings on exopolitics relations with ETs, unquote. By ETs, Mr. Hellyer, that's Paul Hellyer, and these organizations mean ethical, advanced extraterrestrial civilizations that may now be visiting Earth. On September 25, 2005, in a startling speech at the University of Toronto that caught the attention of mainstream newspapers and magazines, Paul Hellyer, Canada's defense minister from 1963 through 7 under Nobel Peace Prize laureate Prime Minister Lester Pearson, publicly stated, quote, UFOs are as real as the airplanes that fly over your head, unquote. I would submit they're actually part of those airplanes that fly over your head. They've been developed here on Earth. They don't come from space. Continuing, Mr. Hellyer went on to say, quote, I'm so concerned about what the consequences might be of starting an intergalactic war that I just think I had to say something, unquote. Hellyer revealed, quote, the secrecy involved in all matters pertaining to the Roswell incident was unparalleled. The classification was, from the outset, above top secret, so the vast majority of U.S. officials and politicians, let alone a mere allied minister of defense, was never in the loop, unquote. Hellyer warned, the United States military are preparing weapons which could be used against the aliens, and they could get us into an intergalactic war without us ever having any warning. He stated, quote, the Bush administration has finally agreed to let the military build a forward base on the moon, which will put them in a better position to keep track of the goings and comings of the visitors from space and to shoot at them if they so decide, unquote. Hellyer's speech ended with a standing ovation. He said, quote, the time has come to lift the veil of secrecy and let the truth emerge so there can be a real and informed debate about one of the most important problems facing our planet today, unquote. Three non-governmental organizations took Hellyer's word to heart and approached Canada's Parliament in Ottawa, Canada's capital, to hold public hearings on a possible ET presence and what Canada should do. The Canadian Senate, which is an appointed body, has held objective, well-regarded hearings and issued reports on controversial issues such as same-sex marriage and medical marijuana. On October 20, 2005, the Institute for Cooperation in Space requested Canadian Senator Colin Kenney, Senator, Chair of the Senate Standing Committee on National Security and Defense, schedule public hearings on the Canadian Exopolitics Initiative so that witnesses such as the Honorable Paul Hellyer and Canadian-connected high-level military intelligence, NORAD-connected, scientific and governmental witnesses facilitated by the Disclosure Project and by the Toronto Exopolitics Symposium can present compelling evidence testimony and public policy recommendations, unquote. The non-governmental organizations seeking Parliament hearings include Canada-based Toronto Exopolitics Symposium, which organized the University of Toronto Symposium at which Mr. Hellyer spoke. The Disclosure Project, a U.S.-based organization that has assembled high-level military intelligence witnesses of a possible ET presence, is also one of the organizations seeking Canadian Parliament hearings. Vancouver-based Institute for Cooperation in Space, or ICIS, whose international director headed a proposed 1977 extraterrestrial communication study for the White House of former U.S. President Jimmy Carter, who himself has publicly reported a 1969 close encounter of the first kind with a UFO, filed the original request for Canadian Parliament hearings. The Canadian Exopolitics Initiative, presented by the organizations to a Senate committee panel hearing in Winnipeg, Canada on March 10, 2005, proposes that the Government of Canada undertake a decade of contact. The proposed decade of contact is, quote, a 10-year process of formal, funded public education, scientific research, educational curricula development and implementation, strategic planning, community activity, and public outreach concerning our terrestrial society's full cultural, political, social, legal, and governmental communication and public interest diplomacy with advanced, ethical, off-planet cultures now visiting Earth, unquote. Forgive me for chuckling. This is an example of what Nietzsche meant when he said a joke is the epigram on the death of a feeling. Continuing. Canada has a long history of opposing the basing of weapons in outer space. So this part I don't disagree with. On September 22, 2004, Canadian Prime Minister Paul Martin declared the UN General Assembly, quote, space is our final frontier. That's original. It has always captured our imagination. What a tragedy it would be if space became one big weapons arsenal in the scene of a new arms race. Martin stated, quote, in 1967, the United Nations agreed that weapons of mass destruction must not be based in space. The time has come to extend this ban to all weapons. The point being that there are people who are doing something worthwhile, namely trying to avoid the militarization of space, and the rationale that they're citing is that it would anger our brothers from space. Well, there ain't no brothers from space, folks, so watch out for this one. There are other things being employed here as well. The same fellow, Paul Hellyer, who's worried that the militarization of space would start an intergalactic war with the, frankly, non-existent space aliens, has also said the following. This also is from the Yahoo News website of February 28th of 2007. UFO science key to halting climate change, former Canadian defense minister. A former Canadian defense minister is demanding governments worldwide disclose and use secret alien technologies obtained in alleged UFO crashes to stem climate change, a local paper said Wednesday. Quote, I would like to see what alien technology there might be that could eliminate the burning of fossil fuels within a generation. That could be a way to save our planet, unquote, Paul Hellyer, 83, told the Ottawa Citizen. Alien spacecrafts would have traveled vast distances to reach Earth and so must be equipped with advanced propulsion systems or used exceptional fuels, he told the newspaper. Such alien technologies could offer humanity alternatives to fossil fuels, he said, pointing to the enigmatic 1947 incident in Roswell, New Mexico, which has become a shrine for UFO believers as an example of alien contact. Quote, we need to persuade governments to come clean on what they know. Some of us suspect they know quite a lot, and it might be enough to save our planet if applied quickly enough, he said. Hellyer became defense minister in former Prime Minister Lester Pearson's government in 1963 and oversaw the controversial integration and unification of Canada's Army, Air Force, and Navy into the Canadian forces. He shocked Canadians in September of 2005 by announcing he once saw a UFO. Well, again, there are firm indications that UFOs are real, but they don't come from outer space. And we're going to take a look now, and by the way, I refer interested listeners, and I hope you're at least interested, to not only the other for-the-record broadcasts about this subject, but also the lecture, again, from 1992, available for download for free on the Spitfire website, The Political Implications of the UFO Phenomenon and the ET Myth. That'll flesh out your understanding on a variety of different things. By the way, among the many things we talk about in those series, the fact that one of the main progenitors of the aliens are among us and they're flying the UFOs was an Air Force intelligence officer he was in charge of security for the stealth fighter program. And those things were seen, and people said, oh my gosh, a UFO. Of course, it was not available to conventional radar, therefore, strange alien technology, obviously from another planet. Woo! Space aliens from Uranus. UFOs, again, they're firm indication that high-performance aircraft of unconventional shape are very, very real. And what we're going to do is to take a look at some apparent history of the development of these particular devices. There are indications that the UFO technology actually stems from a number of advanced anti-aircraft devices, both manned and unmanned, that were developed by Nazi Germany toward the tail end of World War II in order to attempt to stem the vast tide of Allied air raids that was overwhelming Germany. We're going to take a look now at some excerpts from a book called Intercept But Don't Shoot. That book was authored by Renato Vesco, a former chief of research and development for the Italian Air Force. It was published by the Grove Press, 1971. And what we're going to begin looking at here is the development of these so-called Foo Fighters. These were strange glowing balls that were seen by Allied airmen on the Western Front late in World War II. There are indications that, and I refer interested listeners to this book and to the lecture to which I've already alluded, there are indications that what these were unmanned aircraft, circular aircraft, that were designed to knock out the radar of Allied aircraft. They were called the Feuerball, and there's a whole subchapter here called the Anti-Radar Feuerball, or Fireball in English. Talking about the so-called Foo Fighters that were seen by Allied airmen, subsequently other flyers encountered the mysterious Foo Fighters, but having learned their lesson from the fate of their colleagues, they never mentioned them in their flight reports. Pilots McFalls and Baker were the ones who broke this imposed silence. They, too, were from the 415th Squadron, and their very short but detailed report forced Air Force intelligence to consider the matter seriously. Quote, at 0600 on December 22nd, parenthetically 1944, near Hagenau at 10,000 feet altitude, two very bright lights climbed toward us from the ground. They leveled off and stayed on the tail of our plane. They were huge, bright, orange lights. They stayed there for 2 minutes, on my tail all the time. They were under perfect control by operators on the ground. Then they turned away from us and the fire seemed to go out, unquote. The rest of the report was censored. Apparently, it went on to mention the plane's radar and its sudden malfunctioning. Two nights later, the same pilots were flying over the Rhine when they were, quote, attacked, unquote, by a glowing red ball that suddenly changed into an airplane which did a wing over, then it dived and disappeared, unquote. Additional censored lines. Knowledge of these facts, which were being increasingly repeated, finally caught the attention of military publications. During the last days of December 1944, stories were leaked to the American Legion magazine, which published the personal opinion of several U.S. intelligence officers and suggested that the Foo Fighters were radio-controlled devices that the Germans sent up to baffle the radar of the night raiders. Picking up the story, the newspapers dug up Hitler's threatening speeches, boasting of the imminent use of certain secret weapons capable of compromising or at least delaying the Allied victory. In an effort to dissipate apprehension, on January 1, 1945, the science editor of the Associated Press, Howard W. Blakesley, gave a radio talk in which he accepted the official view of intelligence and assured his vast audience that the balls of light reported by flyers over France were simply St. Elmo's fire, natural and spontaneous lights produced by mutual electrostatic induction by the very craft flying the missions. And since the lights were immaterial, radar could not pick them up. Echoes of these inconclusive discussions reached the American bases in France that were directly concerned with the question. Then, the pilots themselves, most of whom had already been flying for a number of years and were quite familiar with St. Elmo's fire, decided to clear up the mystery. The crew of a bomber that for a short time was being followed at a distance by an irregular formation of about 15 fiery balls then reported that each of them gave off a strange light that went on and off at intervals and seemed to be related to clear variations in speed. At a certain point, quote, one by one the balls approached so close that they almost touched the wings. They were huge spinning balls, and for a short time we felt an intense sensation of heat, unquote. Naturally, the plane's radar ceased functioning. The pilot of another flying fortress also reported that he had encountered a fiery ball over German territory. He was so ridiculed by his comrades, who declared that he had seen the celebrated Rhine maidens, that he was almost convinced that he had seen nothing at all when, 2 nights later, while flying back to his base, he saw a fiery mass similar to the one that had caused his discomfiture moving a few miles off. Aided by the fact that their paths were converging, he decided to fly right up to it. When he was a few hundred yards from the Foo Fighter, he heard a strange sound like the, quote, backwash of invisible planes, unquote. He continued on his flight path and the flying fire seemed to go out or to fly off. Resuming his interrupted flight to the base, the pilot then saw the same shining, motionless ball at a high altitude off in the distance. So that, again, about the Feuer ball, an unmanned or apparently unmanned anti-radar circular flying machine developed by the Nazis late in the war. Also, Vesco talks about a ball lightning. This was a manned aircraft which was used for destroying aircraft, enemy aircraft, according to the account presented here by Renato Vesco of the ball lightning. Parallel with the formation of the Special SS Air Corps, the SS Technical General Staff had not only espoused Marshal Goering's pressing demands for the preparation of the decisive, unquote, fighter, but had implemented them by having all the aeronautic devices of the past 2 years sent to the industrial combine of the G-Werke. Thus, the principle of the symmetrical circular aircraft was combined with direct gyroscopic stabilization. Synthetic fire damp was combined with the multiple batteried blower cannon. A gelatinous organic metallic hypercombustible was combined with the total reaction turbine. Television controlled flying was combined with vertical takeoff and landing. Armor that was sensitive to small caliber projectiles and radio control that was free of enemy jamming were combined with the active blinding of enemy radar. Infrared search, quote, eyes, unquote, were combined with electrostatic weapon firing. This marked the rapid development of the Feuer ball, which finally became a weapon. Parenthetically, he explains all of these other technologies elsewhere in the book. We can't go into that due to the limitations of time. Continuing, the Kugelblitz ball lightning, which apparently for greater safety combined the electrostatic firing device with an analogous shortwave device manufactured by the patent Verbotsons Gesellschaft of Salzburg, lumped together in a single compact mass the wings, tail, and fuselage of ordinary planes, but it had nothing in common with them in either form or performance. It was the first example of the jet lift aircraft. After a single lucky wartime mission, the Kugelblitz was subsequently destroyed by technical detachments of retreating SS troops, and thanks to the instructions that had been given to the investigators of the T-Force by the exceedingly strict British military censorship, nothing else has come out since then. By the way, the T-Force was the British technical intelligence team that went in after the frontline soldiers to get their hands on top-secret Nazi research technology. Continuing, even if UFOlogists do not know it or refuse to admit it, the Kugelblitz, older brother of the Feuer ball anti-radar device, is the second authentic antecedent of the present-day flying saucers, and it is with them, and with the other German devices of the same family, spinning bombs, lenticular bombs, ramming fighters, and flying spheres, that the true history, or if you like, the prehistory of the UFO question begins. And again, we're going to be continuing with this line of analysis inside two of the program. What Vesco believes is that the post-World War II manifestation of UFOs were developed by the British, and that in particular they made their appearance shortly after the war over the American Pacific Northwest because they were being manufactured by Canadian aerospace subsidiaries, and they were meant to demonstrate to the Americans that in fact they should share the technology for the atomic bomb because the British had something very advanced to share with them. We'll continue with this analysis on Side 2 of the program. This concludes Side 1 of, for the record, program number 588. The aliens are coming. The aliens are coming. Not. Being recorded on March 4th of 2007, my name's Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.